Today, markets reach for the stars even as a nascent turn is underway. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I've noticed posts covering finance and property news. And this is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, go across to Europe, Asia, and then in Australia, and also cover crypto and commodities. This week, hopes of US interest rate cuts before the end of the year rose after data showed that inflation was cooling faster than expected. Although that has muddied the waters, with all three US benchmarks actually powering higher, despite results from three major banks, which disappointed for various reasons. MSCI's gauge of stocks around the globe rose 0.78% and hit another record intraday high. The S&P 500 and Dow surged to all-time highs before giving up much of those gains by the close. In fact, so far this year, the Dow has risen 6.4%, underperforming the broader S&P 500 and the tech-heavy Nasdaq, which advanced 18.2% and 23.1% respectively over the same period. But the S&P 500 was recently trading at 21.4 times forward earnings compared to a historical average of 15.7, so it's probably well overvalued. On Friday, the S&P 500 was 0.55% higher to 5,615, but earlier it reset its record high to 5,655.56. The Dow reclaimed the 40,000 point mark, up 0.62%, while the Nasdaq Composite also was up 0.62%, although all three indices paired their gains in the final hour ahead of the weekend. About 90% of the shares in the S&P 500 actually rose. Tech mega caps rebounded from falls on Thursday, although smaller firms continue to climb. The Small Cap 2000 index extended its advance from the previous session by a further 1.3%. Some of the market's most valuable companies bounced back after dipping in the previous session by around 2%. This decline was influenced by a shift in investor interest from large cap stocks to smaller companies amid increasing expectations that the Federal Reserve will slash rates in September. On Friday, Apple and Nvidia each climbed more than 1%. The most traded stock in the S&P 500 was Tesla, with $38 billion worth of shares exchanging during the session. The electric car maker jumped 3%, having wobbled on negative news the day before. UBS said Tesla's valuation is increasingly difficult to justify, pointing to a lack of visibility and the risk that growth opportunities, including in artificial intelligence, may take longer than expected to materialize. Banks got hit at the start of the US earnings session after reports from JP Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo slumped 6% after warning that it won't be able to whittle away costs as fast as forecast after the lender missed estimates for quarterly interest income. JP Morgan missed on a few key metrics like net interest income, despite posting record profit from its rising investment bank fees. However, shares in the world's largest bank dipped 1.2%, and Citigroup said costs for the year are likely to be at the high end of the range previously provided, and they fell 1.8% despite reporting a surge in investment banking revenue. Overall, the S&P 500 banks index lost 1.5%, and in a report from Tuesday, analysts at Moody's said US banks were expected to show significant improvements in some investment banking revenue sources after industry improvements in debt issuance and M&A, although IPOs were slightly lower than the year earlier. Investment banks Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley are set to report quarterly results next week. Analysts expect second quarter earnings for the S&P 500 firms to jump 9.6% with strong growth from technology companies, but declining earnings in real estate, industrials, and materials. The US released its June producer price index, and while it came in slightly higher than forecast, economists said the components that feed into the Fed's preferred PCE deflator inflation measure were slightly lower than expected for June, and it looks like the May's PCE gains could be revised lower too. Based on both this week's CPI and PPI data, Capital Economics' Stephen Brown said we estimate that core PCE prices rose by just 0.12% month over month, and that there is going to be potential for a downward revision to the 0.08% gain in May to just 0.05%. If so, that will push the three-month annualized rate down to 1.9% in June, with the three-month annualized change to the closely watched super core, which means services excluding housing, lower to 1.8%. The faster pace of inflation, however, was also shadowed by the data from the University of Michigan that showed the US consumer had expectations of inflation a year from now down to 2.9% from 3% previously. The Fed wants to cut interest rates, said Josh Hurt, a Vanguard senior economist. Vanguard's baseline view is that the Fed will find it is unable to confidently cut its target for the federal funds rate this year from the current level, a more than two-decade high of 5.25 to 5.5%. But it's a fine line. Traders are betting on the 94% chance of a rate cut by September, up from 78% just a week ago. Looming US interest rate cuts are presenting investors with a tough choice. Do you stick with big tech stocks, which have driven returns for more than a year, or turn to less loved areas of the market that could benefit from easing monetary policy? Has a nation's shift already started as the tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 suffered its biggest drop of the year on Thursday, while the small-cap Russell 2000 had its best day of 2024? And also on Thursday, the equal-weight S&P 500, a proxy for the average stock in the benchmark index, had its biggest relative gain since 2020 over the S&P 500, which is more heavily influenced by the largest tech and growth stocks. The benchmark 10-year treasury yield, which moves inversely to price, was last around 4.187%, down some 50 basis points from April's highs. The two-year yield was also down to 4.458%. The dollar index, which measures the greenback against a basket of currencies, including the yen and the euro, fell 0.34% to 104.08, and the euro was up 0.39% to 1.0907. Global oil prices eased, reflecting optimism about US rate cuts, with US crude down 0.53% to $82.19, and Brent fell to $85 per barrel, down 0.15%. Gold prices retreated as investors took profits after a strong rally on the previous session, although bullion has had its third straight weekly rise on increased bets around US rate cuts. US gold futures fell 0.24% to $2,416.10 an ounce. European shares advanced on Friday and logged their second consecutive weekly gain on upbeat earnings and global investor optimism over a September interest rate cut by the Fed. The pan-European Stoxx 600 index closed up nearly 0.9% with an all-time intraday high. Sweden's AdTech hit a record high and jumped 16% after the technical solutions firm said the outlook for the next quarters was favourable, while Ericsson rose 4.3% after the Swedish telecom gear maker beat profit and sales forecasts on demand pickup in North America. Norwegian Air surged 7.8% after reporting second quarter core earnings above market expectations despite slightly lower demand impacting ticket prices. France's CAC 40 advanced 1.27% after a volatile week of elections where leaders of the left-wing New Popular Front were currently discussing potential candidates for prime minister. Parliamentary gridlock in debt-laden France has stirred memories of the previous Eurozone crisis. And meanwhile, consumer prices in France rose 2.5% year-on-year in June, confirming its preliminary reading, while German wholesale prices fell by 0.6% in June compared with the same month last year. The DAX in Germany was at 1.27% to 18,752. Investors are looking at UK markets as a potential haven as political uncertainty rises in the US and elsewhere in Europe, in what could mark a stunning turnaround for a country that appeared to have lost its traditional appeal to global capital. A landslide election victory for Britain's centre-left Labour government last week offers the prospect of predictable policy and improved trade with the European Union to reboot an economy that has struggled since the 2016 Brexit vote. Britain's economy is picking up, and some bankers expect a revival for the UK stock markets that shriveled by relentless selling under successive conservative governments. The latest growth data was also slightly stronger than expected. BlackRock Investment Institute, a research arm of the world's largest asset manager, said on Tuesday that it was bullish on UK stocks, potentially heralding a mood shift among major global institutions that has cooled on Britain since 2016. But even those moving funds into the UK warned that its haven appeal may be short-lived unless the new Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, pulls off a bold plan to boost living standards without straining the nation's stressed finances further. Weak UK public finances remains a source of concern. State borrowing approaches 100% of economic output, and the 2022 market chaos unleashed by Conservative Prime Minister Liz Truss's underfunded mini-budget remains fresh in memories. Labour wants to attract private investment into infrastructure and housing, potentially boosting 2024 growth beyond the 0.7%. Whilst off highs hit in 2023, Britain's 10-year bond yield has still risen 60 basis points this year to 4.1560, underperforming US and German peers. In another sign of some caution, London's FTSE 100 index, valued on a price-to-earnings ratio almost 50% below its US stocks, has underperformed global benchmarks so far this month. The FTSE was last at 8,252. Asian stocks rose on Thursday as technology stocks rallied after positive revenue figures from chip-making giant TSMC sparked more optimism over AI, with Japanese stocks crossing new peaks, but then were mixed on Friday. Taiwan's TSMC, though, the world's largest contract chipmaker, was seen clocking much stronger than expected revenue in the second quarter, and TSMC rose another 1.32% in Taiwan trade. The chipmaker benefited greatly from increased chip demand due to the AI boom. Fellow memory chipmaker SK Hynix, which has been closely tied to the AI industry, though, slid 3.2%, and the broader KOSPI was also down 1.2% as the Bank of Korea kept interest rates steady for the 12th consecutive meeting. Gains in tech stocks had boosted the Japanese market on Thursday, with the Nikkei 225 surging 0.9% to a record high of 42,460 points, but it then fell 2.46% on Friday. The broader topics was down 1.18% as weakness in the yen also drew in a slew of foreign buying and benefited export-oriented stocks. In currencies, the yen jumped against the dollar to an almost four-week high, putting traders on alert for signs of fresh intervention by Japan, which likely stepped in on Thursday to prop up a currency still close to its lowest in 38 years. While Tokyo did not confirm any move on Thursday to prop up the floating yen, the Bank of Japan's daily operations report on Friday suggested around $21 to $22 billion worth had been spent on strengthening the currency. Against the Japanese yen, the dollar weakened 0.57% to 157.90. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices rose slightly on Friday, taking some support from tech stocks as they rebounded from over 4 months' lows hit earlier in July. But they were battered by a slew of middling economic readings, which ramped up concerns over a sluggish economic recovery in the country. Exports actually rose 8.6% in June from a year earlier, while China's imports unexpectedly shrank 2.3%, suggesting manufacturers are front-loading orders in anticipation of tariffs from a growing number of trade partners. China's imports for soybeans, coal, and iron ore rose in June from a year earlier, while those for crude oil, unwrought copper and rare earths slipped, according to the customs data that came out on Friday. Hong Kong's Hang Seng was up 2.59%, although higher for longer interest costs and ample retail and office vacancies have pushed the sales of distressed investment properties in Hong Kong higher in the second quarter, a trend realtors expect to continue in an already tepid real estate market. Half of the 22 investment properties transacted in the second quarter were foreclosure sales, or those that sold at a loss, according to data by real estate services firm Colliers. And CBRE expects office prices, which have already fallen more than 50% since peak in the middle of 2019, to ease between 5 and 10% for the whole of 2024. India's Nifty 50 index rose again, up 0.77%, after hitting a series of record highs through June and early July. And was also hit by some profit-taking in recent sessions. In Australia, the flagship ASX 200 gained 0.9% to a record 7,959 points, and that finished the week up 1.2%. In the final session of the week, the market was helped higher by Australia's largest bank, CBA, which added 1.3% to $131.66, extending a bull run that has sent shares up more than 30% in 12 months and appears to me to be well overvalued. As CBA ended the day with a $220.3 billion market capitalization, it surpassed BHP's $220.1 billion capitalization. The latter finished the day 0.37% lower at $43.40 after informing the market late on Thursday that it would suspend nickel mining operations in Western Australia. Friday marked the first time that CBA had overtaken BHP as Australia's most valuable public company since November 2021. Australia's big four banks all rose on Friday following the data. National Australia Bank gained 2.07% to $36.95. Westpac was 0.98% higher to $27.90. And ANZ rose 0.89% to $29.60. Every share market sector finished higher except technology, which lost 1.2% as WiseTech slipped 3.4% to $95.29. The losses followed a similar rotation out of large cap tech stocks in the US. The rate sensitive real estate sector was the best performing sector, adding 2%, led by GPT Group, which gained 5.3% to $4.39. The Australian dollar also brutally surged near 68 US cents before quickly paring back to 67.84. Australian bonds rallied, with the yield on the 10-year yield up 0.21% to 4.344%, while the 2-year rose 0.22% to 4.177%. The potential rate pivot in the US might not read through to the RBA, even if market expectations did move low on Friday. A strong CPI print would raise the risk of the RBA hiking in August, as I discussed in an earlier show. Finally, in crypto, in a recent report, JP Morgan announced that a new Bitcoin rally is expected in August, suggesting the recent phase of correction will soon come to an end and the market can recover. Despite the recent significant setbacks, the banking giant sees light at the end of the tunnel. A key point in JP Morgan's report is the expectation that the wave of crypto liquidity, which has burdened the market in recent months, is likely to subside in August. These liquidations have led to significant price declines, but analysts see signs that this pressure will soon ease. Interestingly, though, JP Morgan has lowered its estimates of crypto net inflows for the current year from the original $12 billion to $8 billion. This adjustment is based on current trends and data that provides a more accurate picture of the current market conditions. The bank admitted that the original estimate of $12 billion was too optimistic in the light of market developments. The high Bitcoin price, which was far above production costs, made the earlier estimates unrealistic, they said. And Bitcoin was last up 1.26%, sitting at $58,445. So standing back, the machinations in the markets continue, with a tussle between tech stocks and the broader market, and higher interest rates or low interest rates. I think that we are going to see more volatility over the summer, and markets are likely to fall in September and October. Meanwhile, in Australia, the truth of the matter is that interest rates are too low and will have to go higher because inflation is not tamed. And therefore, we cannot read across from the US as to what's going to happen in Australia. Expect higher rates for longer and a rate increase probably early next year. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.